This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace makes it so easy to make a website. You go to squarespace.com/build. You pick a template. You make it beautiful on every platform. Whatever it is you're showcasing, your photography, your music, your business, you can sell stuff. You can do whatever you need to do.
Wow. Wow. And when you're breathless.
I'm so excited about Squarespace, I ran out of air.
So go to squarespace.com/spilled for your free trial. And then when you're ready to launch, use the offer code spilled to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about savory pancakes.
How did we get this idea?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it came from a listener or from...
I know what it was. Okay. When we were in Oklahoma City on our corporate retreat,
yes,
we went to a Szechuan restaurant and we had scallion pancakes.
And then... Whoa, that was a real classic frog throat.
Wow.
So, but then, we're like, okay, let's do this savory pancakes episode. And then I sat down and asked myself the question that we all ask ourselves every day, what is a savory pancake? And wow, did I go down a rabbit hole.
Oh, I can't wait to, go down it too.
Okay,
I guess.
So what's the difference between a savory pancake and a flatbread? Like, does it have to have a savory element kind of worked into it somehow? Does it have to be made from a batter?
I think the difference is, so a pancake is always cooked in some sort of fat, right?
Okay.
It's always cooked on a griddle or on a stovetop situation, or I guess a tandoor. Like, it's cooked on a hot, flat surface.
A hot, flat surface, okay.
With fat.
All right.
I'm gonna put that out there. I think a flatbread can sometimes be baked in the oven, and it doesn't necessarily require, like, fat on the heated surface.
This is interesting.
Do you think I'm onto something?
So, yeah. So, by this definition, like naan is not a pancake because it's cooked without fat.
According to the Molly Weisenberg definition of savory pancake flatbread.
Because I was like, okay, the best I came up with was a bread made from a runny batter and cooked on a griddle, but then that... excluded scallion pancakes because they're not made from a runny batter.
Okay. So, yeah. I think my definition is probably wrong, but feels like it.
But I don't think there's like a pancake, like what's the French Academy? There's no pancake academy that's trying to standardize the definition of a pancake.
The Académie Française.
The Academy Punk. What, how do you say pancake in French? Pipe picole.
Ponkekes. No, I'm not sure. That's not what.
I'm sure you're right. It is ponkekes. There's no the ISO International Standards Organization doesn't have like a numbered standard for what is and is not a pancake. Probably. I didn't look it up. Now that I say that, we're gonna get a cease and desist from the ISO.
I think about this sometimes. Like, who would we consider consider to be like the be-all, end-all authority about this? Who would we believe about their definition? I think I believe John Thorne.
I was going to say Dan Pashman from The Sporkful.
Oh, really?
Because he's always talking about like what is and isn't a sandwich. Like every time I imagine Dan Pashman, I can't imagine him talking about anything else.
But I often feel like I disagree with Dan Pashman.
Oh, so
I love you, Dan Pashman.
But we're going to disagree with... That's the thing about standardization is we're always going to disagree with it to some extent.
Okay.
But okay. But we just have to go along because it's the law. Okay, so okay, speaking great. Of the law of the pancakes, according to Wikipedia, archaeological evidence suggests that pancakes were probably the earliest and most widespread cereal food eaten in prehistoric societies.
I had been under the impression
it was Honey Nut Cheerios.
What do they mean by cereal food?
Well, like a staple food made from grain.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I guess...
But what do they mean by pancakes? I'm going to be saying, what do we mean pancake throughout this episode and drive you crazy.
I'm trying to put myself into my prehistoric brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. So we would have grain, right? And either I would grind it up on a rock with another rock, or I would, like, I think I would
Which
discover...
Which is also the same way you wash your clothes.
I think I would discover pretty quickly that I needed to moisten the grain somehow, mm-hmm. either with, like, animal fat or with water in order to cook it.
A cool running stream.
Yes, a cool running stream. And so it makes sense, I guess, that you'd wind up with a paste, and then you'd probably, it's not a far reach from there to start cooking that paste into like a disc.
Right.
Like a
pancake. Well, yeah, I mean, flatbreads, I think the reason flatbreads are more versatile and like predated leavened breads is because like figuring out how to capture and productively use yeast took time.
Oh,
and,
no.
It isn't like suited to all environments either.
I'm not comparing it in my prehistoric mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking of the alternative to savory pancakes as being yeasted breads, Matthew. Oh, I'm thinking of it more like grain bowls.
Grain. It's like a quinoa bowl with some acai and almond milk.
Yeah, I'm eating it in my cave.
Yeah, so it said, Wikipedia says that was the second most widespread early cereal food.
Grain bowls.
So you're really close.
Thanks. Okay, anyway, all right.
So like a prehistoric mind is like what you have like if you went to college in Virginia. In the 60s, right?
It's like the... So you know how in meditation we talk about the beginner's mind?
Yes.
Okay. It's like the beginner's mind.
Oh, so like it's like after you meditate, like you're still... You just don't know anything.
Exactly. And then you make your savory pancakes.
So I feel like I'm throwing a lot of shade on our prehistoric ancestors. And I didn't mean it that way. They made great grain bowls. So they were so health conscious.
Come on. They were also paleo.
They were so fucking paleo. Like, it's almost like they didn't even have to try. That's how much they had absorbed the dogma. Okay. So, crepes. I'm just going to start throwing out names of pancakes, okay?
Okay.
We already did a crepe episode, so I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay. And I think so savory crepes are often made with buckwheat flour.
Often made with buckwheat.
As a reminder to all of us.
They're made with buckwheat as a reminder.
As a reminder of that time that our prehistoric ancestors discovered buckwheat.
Yeah, when they domesticated buckwheat. I don't know. Maybe we did domesticate buckwheat. Okay, okonomiyaki. Mm-hmm. So this is a Japanese pancake, and there are a few different varieties, but the best known one, I think, is the Osaka style, which is made from like a flour and water batter, usually with lots of shredded cabbage in it.
Is this, so doesn't it also have grated mountain potato in it?
It often, but not always, has grated mountain potato in it. So it's got kind of a springy texture.
When you and I were in Tokyo about a year and a half ago, we went to one of your favorite neighborhood joints in Nakano.
Oh, I love that place so
much. Called Penguin Village, where we were the only people eating in it that particular window of time.
Yeah, because we went at like 6:30 p.m. Yeah. And it's the kind of place that doesn't really get going till like 11.
And the guy who ran the place kind of looked like Japanese Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm. He does not like it when I say that.
He doesn't? Oh, I think that's a compliment.
I know, right? Huh. He and I have had this discussion.
Oh, okay. Okay. But anyway.
I'm not going to stop.
Okay. Did that have grated mountain yam in it?
Yes, for sure.
I remember reading about grated mountain yam in Pretty Good Number One, I think.
Yeah.
And your book, Pretty Good Number One, in case you forgot about it.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot I wrote that book.
and it sounds terrifying because it's really like slimy. And
oh, we should find a way to use it on an episode so I can gross you out by grading it.
Well, I remember when our server brought over the bowl of sort of layered ingredients for the okonomiyaki.
Yeah.
And you then stirred it up and you poured it onto the hot griddle in front of us.
Oh, this is, I've got a feeling the nostalgia.
So good. And I, meanwhile, I was drinking my Asahi with a perfectly like foamy head. Ugh. Anyway, I remember I kind of couldn't look at the batter because it I was like scared
had, like,
of seeing
bubbles.
The slime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the batter. So often other ingredients often include pickled ginger, crispy tempura bits. And then it's called okonomiyaki, means like fried whatever you like, kind of. And
so, is that really what it means?
Yeah. Okonomi is like your choice, your preference.
Okay.
And yaki is griddled, fried, broiled.
Ah.
And so that's why usually at an okonomiyaki restaurant, there will be a very long list of things you can order to have thrown into or on top of your okonomiyaki.
And how, so when you go into an okonomiyaki restaurant, there are these like tables that have a griddle set into them.
Yeah, although that's more, it's more common in Osaka for them to make it for you. And maybe like you sit around a griddle and eat it off the griddle where the chef has made it.
Oh, okay.
But in Tokyo, it's typically just like you described.
And how did you learn how to do it? Because I just sort of like sat back and watched you make this pancake, and it looked challenging. Like you had to get just the right thickness.
I mean, the answer is the first time we went to that place, I'd never made one before. And the guy who I assure you looks nothing like Patrick Swayze, looks a lot like Patrick Swayze, taught me how to make it. And it's not hard. Like you mix up all the stuff. You you make a thick pancake. You put some strips of pork on top, and then you cook it for much longer than you think it will take. And flip it and cook it for a while longer, and then you eat it with this like sweet kind of barbecue-y sauce.
It's great drinking food.
It really is. Mm-hmm. There's also we're not going to get to any other pancakes if we keep talking about okonomiyaki. I'll link to something. I think our friend Kenji Lopez Alt has a big article about it in Serious Eats.
Maybe with a recipe
something about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Blini. Speaking of buckwheat.
Yeah. So these are Russian. Well, the word blini comes from Russian, right?
Yeah.
It's a Russian pancake made with buckwheat flour, or I guess in some cases just wheat flour.
Yeah. When I looked into this, like it seemed like the buckwheat version was more common outside of Russia and the wheat version was more common inside of Russia, but I'm not positive. Russian listeners, please let us know.
I'm sure that some of our listeners may dispute the idea that they're Russian too, because they're made in Lithuania and Ukraine. Well, I don't know. The geopolitics are very complicated. Anyway, classically, they're made with yeast. So it's a yeasted batter,
yes,
which is pretty cool. And if you're feeling really fancy, you put caviar and sour cream on top of it. Needless to say, we are not having blini today.
No, I have had that cream one time. It was in France. It was great.
I have had it somewhere. I feel like it was at like some fancy holiday party that somebody threw.
Sure.
Somebody far fancier than you or me.
Put on your ugly Christmas sweaters and
go
pound
eat blini.
That blini.
Anyway, oh, they're so delicious.
Sounds pretty great, actually.
That sounds great. Can we, hey, so let's start a Google Doc. You know, Matthew and I love Google Docs.
We do. Hashtag Google Docs.
We pretty much plan the entire show every week on Google Docs.
Mm-hmm. This really sets us apart from everyone else. Yeah.
let's start a Google Doc for our 2019 holiday party.
Oh, okay.
Blini, caviar, sour cream.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
You can easily turn your dream into a reality with Squarespace. And do you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because my partner, Ash, just recently used our Squarespace code.
Really?
To start designing a website for her therapy practice.
Well, I mean, I hope she got 10% off her first
she
purchase
did.
Of a website or a domain with the code spilled.
All of our listeners can do this, whether they are looking to start a new business.
So to be clear, to get the deal, they do not have to be in a personal relationship with you.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Whether you're starting a new business, showcasing your work, starting a blog, selling products, whatever, Squarespace has got beautiful templates for you. They make it easy to customize, optimized for mobile, right out of the box, all that stuff.
So I'm a modern kind of guy. I like to look at websites on my telephone.
Oh, whoa.
And when it's a Squarespace site, it always looks great.
So go to squarespace.com/spilled for a free trial.
And when you're ready to launch, even if you're not Molly's partner, use the offer code SPILLED to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
That's squarespace.com/spilled, offer code SPILLED.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins. And they want to know what our ideal morning would look like if anything was possible. And Molly has stepped out, so apparently my ideal morning doesn't involve her, but here's what it does involve. I head to work in a lovingly restored American muscle car passed down to me by my father. When I get to work, my boss, Kurt Russell, sets down a bucket of ice-cold beers and a platter of freshly toasted Thomas's English muffins with a vast array of toppings and condiments. And he tells me about our latest mission, which involves, I don't know, like teaming up with Charlize Theron and driving cars underwater, I guess. And I want to put up a big disclaimer here. I am not talking about any movie franchise. These are my actual goals. I have a plan in progress to make sure that by this time next year, I am going to be underwater with Charlize Theron. Maybe just the English muffin part is real. I actually did eat an English muffin this morning, a Thomas's English muffin, of course. I topped it with some chocolate hazelnut spread sent to us by a listener in France, plus some flakes of Maldon sea salt. And the chocolate hazelnut spread melted and oozed into all those nooks and crannies. Thank you, Kurt Russell. I'll post a photo in the show notes of the Thomas's English muffin, not of me with Kurt Russell, unfortunately. Thomas's, wake up to what's possible. This is a word that I don't know how to say very well, but it's John or Jun.
Will you and spell it?
J-E-O-N or sometimes just J-U-N.
Okay.
And that is a Korean pancakes. And that's what I made today.
And so you made a Korean pancake with scallions.
Yep, so that's a pajeon.
It was very different from what I've had in Sichuan restaurants.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Chinese style of scallion pancake first and then talk about the Korean one that I made as a counterpoint.
Yes, do talk about it.
Okay, so Chinese scallion pancake is made from, like, it's made with a method that produces lots of layers of dough, like making a laminated dough or a croissant or something.
But with oil.
So you roll out a thin circle of dough, you brush it with some sesame oil and sprinkle it with scallions, and then you roll it up, like, into a snake. Then you coil up the snake, and then you roll it out into a circle again.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah, so you get lots of layers of dough with scallions and oil in between them.
Oh, that's
and that
cool.
produces and then you fry it in a pan in some oil and it produces a flaky texture.
Yeah, I mean, the flakes are almost as thin as phyllo sometimes. I mean, maybe not quite that thin, but very thin and crispy.
Yeah, you know, I had for breakfast this morning a Trader Joe's frozen paratha. Mm-hmm. Which by our definition is a savory pancake because you cook it in a little oil on a griddle. Mm-hmm. And I think a paratha is made with a method somewhat similar to a scallion pancake because you can see those circular layers, striations.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Don't you love
cool.
it when I say striations? I don't know if that was correct to use.
Scallion pancakes now.
Yeah, they're fun to make. They're the kind of thing that, like, you know, it's quite a bit of work to make a few scallion pancakes, but then once you eat them, it's so worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's the kind of thing, too, that gets much easier the more you do it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I should do it more often.
Yes.
So now let's go back to Korean scallion pancakes, which are totally different. They are made from a batter, like a thick batter, and you kind of put the scallions in the pan in some oil. Oh, the batter contains basically flour, water, salt, and sugar, although the recipe I used called for a little bit of doenjang, which is the Korean version of miso. Fermented soybean paste.
And is this wheat flour, like all-purpose?
Yeah.
Wheat flour? Okay, cool.
And you make this kind of thick batter. You put some sliced scallions, or not even sliced, but like cut into lengths, mm-hmm. scallions in a pan, and you spread this batter over it. So it's like there's a lot of scallions in it, mm-hmm. and you kind of press it, so you try and make it thin so it doesn't get doughy in the middle, which mine did a little bit. And you cook it till it's nicely browned on both sides and then kind of cut it up.
And I'm guessing that you cook it longer than you'd think.
Longer than you'd think, yeah.
The scallions get really, like, soft.
Yes.
And yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and it's really simple. Like, you can put one of these together in, like, 10 minutes.
What
total.
Was this dipping sauce?
Oh, and I made a dipping sauce to go with it. Just soy sauce, rice vinegar, pinch of sugar, some chili flakes, and sesame seeds.
Oh, really good. Really good. Okay, is there a recipe that you can link to on the old website?
So I believe the recipe I made was from Mangchi, who is, like, the internet's favorite Korean cooking teacher.
Okay, cool.
So I will link to that.
Okay, what about Bun Xiao? Did I say that correctly?
So I've heard it said Bun Xiao.
Bun Xiao. Wow, I messed that up big time.
Again, like my pronunciation, I'm not claiming to be like the Noah Webster of savory pancake pronunciation.
It's fine.
I am claiming to be the Noah Webster of savory pancake pronunciation.
Matthew, it was better when you didn't claim to be the Noah Webster.
Okay, I take it back. I'm no longer making that claim. I'm withdrawing that claim.
Okay. Oh, this is that really thin, lacy Vietnamese pancake that often has shrimp.
Yes.
Like folded, it's folded like in half,
yes,
right?
And sometimes the shrimp kind of like stick to the pancake and like become part of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's made with rice flour, coconut milk, like a little turmeric for color.
Mm-hmm.
And you cook it. Pour it out into a thin layer. So this is kind of a thin batter.
Mm-hmm.
And usually fill it with mung beans, bean sprouts. Pork is popular. Shrimp is popular. And then also you take some lettuce leaves and like tear off a piece of the pancake, tear off a piece of lettuce, wrap it, dip it in Nook Cham.
I remember shortly after I moved to Seattle, reading an article in the Seattle Times or the PI in which I first learned about this Vietnamese pancake,
uh-huh,
because there was some restaurant in town that had just opened that was particularly good at making them. And
yep.
I'm now wondering if you wrote that article.
I certainly did.
Perfect.
The restaurant doesn't exist anymore.
I know. I haven't thought of it in a long time. That's sad.
Yeah, but no, I got to go in the kitchen at Bambusa Restaurant, RIP, and learn how to make one.
Oh my gosh,
so
I can't believe you wrote that. This is so weird.
It's just like that part in When Harry Met Sally when Carrie Fisher quotes Bruno Kirby to Bruno Kirby.
Oh my gosh.
And then they fall in love.
I don't know what you're talking about. Who's Bruno Kirby?
Wait,
is that the Billy Crystal character?
No, he's Billy Crystal's friend.
Oh, okay. Because I would never believe, somehow I can't look at Billy Crystal and think that he would play a character named Bruno.
No, and Bruno Kirby is the actor, not the character. I don't remember the name of the character.
Oh.
Carrie Fisher, also the actor, not the character
name. I know that, Matthew. All right, carry on.
Okay. Jian Bing.
Mm-hmm.
These I feel like are getting super popular in the U.S.,
and this is also from China, but different from what we were just talking about?
Different, yes. Okay. So it's made from a batter, and then it's typically, like, it's filled with egg in the sense that, like, they pour the batter onto the griddle and then sort of, like, cook, sort of scramble an egg on the cooking batter.
Whoa.
You know?
Does the egg, like, fuse to the batter?
Partially.
Okay.
And then sometimes they'll throw in, like, crispy fried dough, hot sauce, cilantro, and, like, often there's lots of optional fillings.
I just want to point out that it seems like in these like Asian cultures, there are like all kinds of cool things happening with this idea of a dough fried on a griddle.
Yes.
And I just don't think we're doing that enough here. Like, are there like...
I think we're getting there slowly.
Well, mostly just because we're like learning about those dishes.
Oh, you mean?
But
you
are
mean
there
that...
things in like what we call American food or like soul food or?
Well, I mean, there's definitely Johnny cakes in soul food.
Okay, which is
which
a
we're going to get to in a minute.
Cornmeal base, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, keep going. Keep
okay.
going.
Okay. Somewhat recently, like last year, I had a Jian Bing in Taiwan for breakfast that was so good. Like lots of hot sauce, like a runny egg.
And so when it's filled, so after they've cooked the egg in there, do they roll it over? Do they fold it over? What do they do?
Yeah, they kind of fold it up like into a pocket. I've seen it like rolled and also seen it folded.
Okay.
But yeah, then it gets like stuffed into a bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of street food?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds really good. Okay, cool.
Okay. You ready to talk corn cakes?
I'm ready to talk corn cakes. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Whoa. I'm having trouble talking.
I'm here for the talking.
Take it away.
Okay. So first of all, I want to make clear that a corn crake is a type of bird.
Glad we got that out of the way.
And corn cakes are synonymous with Johnny cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where the name Johnny cakes comes from.
Art, I think of, when I've heard of Johnny cakes, I think of them as being like unsweetened.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm talking about here since we're talking about savory pancakes. Obviously, there are sweet corn cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I often make cornmeal pancakes for breakfast, but that's not a savory pancake.
Well, but it seems to me that, you know, this is kind of a thing with like bread type things that are made from corn. There's this whole divide, northern cornbread versus southern cornbread, sugar versus no sugar. But Johnny cakes are...
So Johnny cakes, I feel like, are both north and south and often unsweetened.
Okay.
And they can be made with some wheat flour or with just cornmeal, which is kind of tricky. Like, I've done
I'll bet.
A few times, but, like, you know, they... It doesn't have gluten. Corn doesn't have gluten, so they really would prefer to fall apart.
Okay.
Like I would some days.
Pretty much
most
like
days.
A lot of days. I'm speaking for myself.
No, you're speaking for me too.
Okay.
And probably many listeners.
I'm already looking forward to the nap that I have a feeling that both you and I are going to take after these episodes.
Oh, I think there's a 90. I checked the weather and there is a 95% chance of nap.
Yeah. Sometimes after we record, I'll look at Matthew and I'll be like, you want to take a nap? And Matthew will go into his bedroom and shut the door and I'll lie down on his sofa and we each set our alarm for 25 minutes. God, we're so cute.
I know. Sometimes if the episode isn't going well, I just go in my bedroom and close the door.
Okay. All right, Matthew. So Johnny cakes.
Like, I can't believe you didn't think that corn crake thing was funny. I am out of here. okay. So it's a super, super simple, you know, like cooked in butter or oil on a griddle with just some like good quality cornmeal and salt and water, basically. And you cook kind of slowly so that it's to try and get it to hang together.
And you would eat this in place of bread?
Yeah, but also, I mean, you can put syrup, butter and syrup on it. You can eat it like really good with beans and greens or with chili as an alternative to cornbread. It's, you know, it's a flat form of corn, a simple cornbread.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, though, because of the fact that it's like lower in gluten than, for instance, like these pancakes we're talking about from China or Vietnam, like you couldn't fold them over fillings, probably.
Yeah. Although that's a good question. I don't know. Like you can get a Johnny cake to hang together. But yeah, like trying to fold it over a filling seems like asking too much, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't know. Again, this is, I think, a thing probably there. We have listeners who know a lot more about it than we do.
Yeah.
That probably goes for everything,
I think that goes
right?
for all these episodes. I mean, we're trying.
We're trying, yes. Johnny cakes is something where it's really worth seeking out good quality cornmeal. Mm-hmm. Like if you want it, sometimes I will go online and order a white flint cornmeal from New England, which is... Or a cornmeal from Anson Mills.
I was going to say Anson Mills is the one I always hear of.
Yeah, either way, like a good stone ground cornmeal is really going to make your Johnny cake sing. Oh, no. I'm going to the bedroom.
Okay. All right. What about latkes? I feel like, hold up. Let's not talk about latkes. This seems like a whole episode.
Yeah, let's put a pin in this and later let's remove the pin and the latke episode will come out.
Okay, great.
Pannekoek. So this is, it's a Dutch pancake. I've only ever had it at the Dutch Pannekoek House in Canada. My friend Johan, who is from the Netherlands, says the Dutch Pannekoek House is not good. And I'm sure he's right.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it a lot. I got like a big ass thin pancake with like caramelized onions and bacon on it. It was great.
Is it almost... crepe-like in its thinness?
It is, yeah, almost, not quite.
Okay.
So it looks, yeah, it's a little thicker than a crepe and definitely bigger than an American pancake.
Okay.
And, so here's what I learned on Wikipedia, which made me very happy. Pannekoeken can be and often are eaten as a main course served warm. In winter, pannekoeken are sometimes eaten after snert in a two-course meal.
The word snert is really funny. What did, like, okay, go on. Sorry.
Pannekoeken are a popular choice for a child's birthday meal in the Netherlands and Belgium. Specialized pannekoeken restaurants are common in the Netherlands and Belgium. Pannekoekenhuizen equals pancake houses. They often offer a very wide range of toppings and ingredients, traditional and modern, e.g. cheese, oregano, and salami on a pizza pannekoek.
Okay.
Two things. First of all, I think that makes pannekoek the Dutch and Belgian okonomiyaki. And secondly, I just realized I forgot to look up what snert was.
We need to look
okay,
it up.
We're pausing now to look up snert.
What is it about certain words? I mean, snert, it doesn't sound like anything else. Like, sometimes words sound funny because...
it sounds like snort.
That's true.
snert is a snortable lunch.
No!
Okay, snert is split pea soup.
Oh my gosh, I want to just, okay, I'm not calling it split pea soup anymore. I'm just calling it snert.
I was going to say the same thing, yes.
It's a way better word. Oh, June, we're having snert for dinner.
I can just imagine June marching around the house saying, snert, snert, snert.
Okay.
Dosa.
Oh, this could be a whole episode, too.
We should do a whole episode on this, too.
Let's not talk about dosa.
Like, for my birthday, maybe the year before last, or it wasn't for the most recent holiday, I got a book about how to make dosas at home, and I said I would do it, and I haven't done it yet. But for this show, just for you.
Well, but Matthew, we could also take a field trip to the east side of Lake Washington,
yes,
out where there are really, really fantastic Indian restaurants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing I learned. In Iceland, North American style pancakes are cut in half and used as sandwich bread. So I read that on Wikipedia. I'm like, I don't know. Someone's been having fun with Wikipedia.
Wow.
So my former colleague, Robin Lee, who I believe used to write for Serious Eats also, I found on her blog, she went to Iceland a few years ago and ate like a chicken salad sandwich on pancakes.
Wow.
So
I want to try this.
It's a real thing. We will link to that blog post from Robin Lee. I think I want to try it, but I'm glad it exists.
I think this could be a great BLT.
Oh, you know what it is?
Imagine if you made buckwheat pancakes or cornmeal pancakes and then used it for your BLT.
Okay, that sounds good.
Right?
I agree. You know what it is? It's a McGriddle.
Oh.
Sort of. Those are very sweet pancakes.
You're right. Oh, McDonald's was scooped us on this one.
Well, but I mean, the McGriddle only dates to like the 90s, maybe, Iceland.
That was 20 years ago.
I know, but Iceland predates that, I think.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know. When did Iceland start? This episode was brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins. Is it possible to keep a secret for over 100 years? It is when that secret is the recipe to the Thomas's English Muffin. But we're going to reveal it right now. What's that? No one else comes close to the nooks and crannies texture of a Thomas's English Muffin. And because they've kept the recipe under lock and key, no one ever will. Certainly not us. Thomas's, wake up to what's possible. All right. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post like a link to something about okonomiyaki and a link to Robin Lee's post about Icelandic pancake sandwiches and some other things that we said we would link to.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Instagram at spilledmilkpodcast, where we may or may not have posted anything since our flurry of posts during our Oklahoma City retreat.
Our producer is Abby Cerquitella.
Mm-hmm. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where you can let us know what are the savory pancakes that we forgot, because there are many.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure that we forgot most of them.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Do you think that corn crakes like snark? Oh, snert. It's really hard to say.
I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Oh, I'm Molly Weisenberg. No. Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Turn it off.
No. Do corn crakes like snert? It's, I mean, I think that's, I don't know if it was Socrates or Aristotle.
It's like, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Exactly. It's exactly like that. Do corn crakes like snert? Electric snert. Can you do the electric snert? I hear all the kids are doing it these days.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Still Matthew Amster Burton. You know, you're not supposed to be down there.
No, you're not supposed to be down there.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.